covering the world of professional wrestling with the latest interviews, rumors, and maybe even some spoilers. You're listening to All Things Wrestling Radio on today's Talk 1490.
It's another edition of All Things Wrestling Radio on today's Talk 1490 and online at todaystalk1490.com. I am your Sour Patch Mark, Isaac Wenzel, and with me is none other than Panda Pete. Pete, what is going on, my man?
Not a lot. I think everybody is just patiently waiting for SummerSlam, or impatiently. Kind of makes you wonder how you lived without a pay-per-view every 2 weeks when they make you wait that kind of 3-4 weeks off like they used to.
I know.
Back when they only had like 12 a year.
What a weird concept.
37. I know. It's just, it blows my mind that we used to have to wait like an entire month for a pay-per-view. And now it seems like we're getting 39 of them within, you know, 12-month calendar period.
And here we are. Just like, I was so used to, like, we're getting in a rhythm here with our shows too. Like, we would have literally one episode would be the fallout for one pay-per-view. The next one would be previewing a pay-per-view. Then the next one would be the fallout again. So it's kind of nice because it made our shows easier. We didn't have to look at the dirt sheet so much. We just analyzed our pay-per-views. But they're actually making us work a little bit as we do a little bit of speculation, looking at the dirt sheets, talking about Impact a little bit, talking about some of the indie shows in the area as well. Also, still to come on the show, I should probably actually, you know, set the table for the show, you know, like broadcasters do. We've got Impact Wrestling X Division star Andrew Everett. He's going to be on the show. We had a great chat with him earlier this week, and Andrew is a cool guy. If you haven't heard of him before or haven't seen him, look him up on YouTube because he is a high flyer and he's got an awesome moveset. He can do a 630 off the top rope. Seriously, this guy is awesome. You get to learn a lot about him, and he's a really cool guy and a great interview. So looking forward to sharing that conversation with you. But yeah, so we've had to talk about some other things. And you know what? That's all right, because there's good stuff going on in NXT. Like I said, on the indie scene, there's some great shows. And in fact, coming up, Elite Pro Wrestling, following our awesome show in Galesville, Wisconsin, at Champions Riverside Resort, they just announced a show for November. It's the EPW Anniversary 5 show. That's right, 5 years of Elite Pro Wrestling coming up at the Black Horse Bar and Grill November 18th. Get your tickets now because the main attraction for this show is actually a recent guest of ours on this show, Impact Wrestling star Grand Champion Moose. That's right, Moose will be in attendance. And he has a history with Chris Steele and Todd Owens back when they trained down in Georgia. So I'm looking forward to seeing what's to come for Moose in attendance. Pete, are you looking forward to that show, man?
Of course. I wasn't able to make the Galesville show due to prior obligations, but I always love getting to hang out with the EPW guys. The JPW guys come up from Chicago as well. And the shows are always just a lot of fun. Everybody has a great time. The matches are always solid. So if you haven't been to an EP show lately or ever, this might be an opportunity for you to check it out, see what's happening there. But again, all the people involved, make sure that you have a phenomenal time. The Black Horse Bar and Grill is a fantastic host. So make sure you stop out because it's, what, 20 minutes from La Crosse? 25 minutes?
Yeah, the Black Horse, about 20, 25 minutes. And it's cool because the venue is fun because you've got like kind of the balcony section so you can overlook the ring, or you can be down at floor level and be, you know, like right, like eyesight, perfect vision for the ring. Either way, it's fun. They have fantastic food at the Black Horse Bar and Grill. Their burgers are good, their cheese curds are good. I always get that prime rib sandwich and it's just loaded, like it's just a giant piece of prime rib on a bun. And seriously, you get your money's worth when you get their food there. They have great food and great drink specials. It's just a lot of fun altogether. So highly recommend going to that. Check out Elite Pro Wrestling on Facebook and RSVP into that, and invite your friends too. Get the troops together, you know, come November 18th, there'll be a little bit chillier outside and you might not have as many activities going on. So this is a nice way to stay out of the soon-to-be frigid temperatures. It'll probably be dark out by the time the show starts. Well, it will be for sure. So I don't want to think about that. The days are getting shorter, though. But just keep that in mind. It'll be that time of year. So it's like perfect time for wrestling. I'm sure that's Survivor Series weekend, too. I think Survivor Series and just like that whole weekend is a very underrated part of the whole, just Thanksgiving week. You know, like there's football and all this good food on Thanksgiving, but I do love that Survivor Series is that Sunday before. And like with this, we've got this awesome wrestling show with Elite Pro Wrestling too. So there's a lot to look forward to there. So if you haven't seen an Elite Pro Wrestling show, change that because it's a great wrestling action, great characters. Like these guys are funny and they're entertaining in the ring. And of course, we're there too. So it doesn't get much better than that, right, Pete?
You had your own cheering section one time, and it kind of turned into my cheering section as well. So I'm totally okay with it. Like you said, though, it's a great atmosphere. Lots of fun can be had. And the nice thing, too, is that most people that listen to the show probably watch a lot of programming on a particular network or maybe the USA channel. And this is a nice opportunity to see some fresh wrestling, new characters, different takes on professional wrestling, too. And there are a lot of very talented people there. Each night, there's at least one or two matches where you go, wow, I haven't seen that before. These guys are willing to pull out some amazing moves as well. And it's always fun to see whether or not the Chicago crew can get the lacrosse, or not the lacrosse crew, the Winona crowd so fired up that they maybe interfere in matches or as the night goes on. So it's unpredictable. It's a lot of fun. But, I mean, what, for 10, 15 bucks? For 2.5-3 solid hours of wrestling, it's about as great a value as you can get.
Yeah, it really is. Get the guys together or the gals if they're into it too, and bring them to the show because, yeah, it's really worth every penny. And another event coming up before then, this is a WWE show. We kind of overlooked it with everything going on between NXT, WWE TLC coming up in October, and a bunch of VPW shows. Something I'm really excited about is WWE Live in Rochester, Minnesota at the Mayo Civic Center on Labor Day of all days, too. So nice little, spend your little Labor Day, spend your day off work watching some wrestling at the Mayo Civic Center. Randy Orton is scheduled to appear, Shinsuke Nakamura. You've got AJ Styles, Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, and many, many more talents. Tickets are starting at, I believe, just $15. At the Mayo Civic Center box office and at Ticketmaster.com. They have a deal too. I saw if you buy, you buy two pair, you get a discount too, like 25% off tickets. So perfect for the family. You want to get yourself a little family four pack. You are good to go. It should be a great time. We will be giving away tickets very shortly. So stay tuned to that on our Facebook page at facebook.com/allthingswrestlingradio for more info. And we've got our friends at WWE will be hooking us up with some merchandise so you can go to that show in style. Seriously, you don't want to miss this show. House shows are great because, I mean, we've talked about it before, Pete, but it's nice because there's a lot more interaction. It's just a fun time. It's a smaller venue, so you're up close and up personal. You can hear what the wrestlers are saying. A lot of times they goof off a little bit more than they are on TV. It's just a great time. So I highly recommend going. Pete, I'm sure you think the same way, huh?
Yeah, they're a lot of fun. I always enjoy house shows for what they are. It's a great opportunity. And the cool thing about house shows is that this is usually when they practice kind of maybe what's coming up on TV later down the road. Mm-hmm. So you might get a little sneak peek as to some of the feuds that they might have, some of the people that might be working together. And again, if you want to see some of the more fun WWE programs, house shows are definitely a way to go, just because they are so much more relaxed than TV tapings. Matches generally go longer. You'll see some of the people that maybe you don't see on TV as often actually get some time to shine in there as well. So check it out. Should be a lot of fun. And are we going to get heroes before this show as well?
I'm sorry?
Are we going to get heroes this time before the show too?
No, that's yes. We might have to go to Max. They have a good sandwich there.
See, if you don't know anything about Isaac and I, our lives revolve around food and wrestling.
Yes.
And if you combine both of those together, it's phenomenal. Isaac gets the prime rib sandwich, and those jalapeno poppers at the Black Horse are phenomenal.
Oh, I forgot about those.
But then you've got the Heroes in Rochester that we got last time. Was it Matt's or Mac's?
M-A-C-K. Or no, M-A-C, okay. Apostrophe S.
Got it. Yeah, those were excellent too. So wrestling, food, Isaac and I are sold. And again, if Sour Patch Kids wants to sponsor this show, I know at least Isaac would be incredibly happy with that.
I would not object. You don't have to pay us either. I will sell out just for a couple of bags of Sour Patch Kids too. Closer.
1.9 pounders, not the small bags.
Right. I definitely agree with that. That's good. I'll sell it pretty easily, but I need like at least a decent amount of Sour Patch Kids. Hey, let's hit the dirt sheets a little bit. I don't want to hit on them too hard. There's not too much going on in the world of professional wrestling. Of course, Bayley, unable to compete at SummerSlam, which is unfortunate. On WWE programming, they had two triple threat matches to, determine a matchup this upcoming Raw, which will name the number one contender. As expected, Sasha Banks and Nia Jax will be going one-on-one this Monday to figure out who the number one contender for Alexa Bliss is. My money would be Sasha Banks, but you never know. But tough break for Bayley. Bayley posted, I believe, to Twitter saying, good thing I'll be doing this for a while. So best of luck to Bayley with her recovery. I think, you know, it's one of those things where you never want an injury to happen and you never wish it to happen on somebody. But this is probably the best thing that could happen to Bayley, don't you think, in a way?
Yeah, I mean, you and I both agree that they've not done a great job with the run on the main roster so far. Winning the championship at the Royal Rumble seemed like it was pulling the trigger a little prematurely. I don't think either of us were very excited about that. And I know one of the big things, too, for you and I has been we've just wanted to see more variety with the women on Raw lately. It seems like they've kind of been force-feeding you Bayley, Alexa Bliss, and Sasha Banks over the last 7-8 months now. And as much as everybody still loves all three of them, I don't think this would be a bad opportunity for them to maybe push Nia Jax. I mean, we saw with Finn Balor in the Universal Championship, Kevin Owens had a great run as the Universal Champion on the flagship show, if that's what you want to call it. And I think that's really paid off for his career and his marketability, especially now that he's on SmackDown. He's in a program with AJ Styles. Both of them are great in the ring. So I really hope this paves the path to get more consistency while also hopefully showcasing more of the roster. I'm not talking about like those Emma and Dana Brooke squash matches that they've been in lately against either Sasha Banks or Nia Jax. I really would like to see them utilize more of the women on that roster. Mickie James has kind of been like a non-factor since she's gone over there. And I think that's really not doing their women a solid, considering there's like six of them that are wrestling for a 3-hour show. That you can't tell me that you can't put more of them on or include more of them instead of just triple threat matches, four-way matches, or the gauntlet match that they had, what was that, 2 months ago now?
Yeah, right. Like, honestly, I think Nia Jax without a doubt deserves a push. I just think she's just kind of booked in a corner right now. I think they want to have Alexa Bliss, you know, hold on to this title for a little while. I like the chemistry between Alexa Bliss and Nia Jax. I mean, they're best friends outside of the off screen. Like they kind of work together on screen too. So that's the problem right now with Nia Jax. So if Nia Jax is gonna, you know, really get a monster push, win the title, Alexa Bliss is going to have to cough that up soon. In terms of, you know, some of these other wrestlers, I mean, Mickie James, like you said, I mean, she has not done much at all since going Raw. Dana Brooke kind of struggling. It looks like she's trying to be a part of Titus Worldwide. I mean, that's kind of mildly helped a couple stars, Akira Tozawa, and Apollo Crews. It's a fun little thing they have going on. I saw that press conference a bit that they did on social media or YouTube. And it was like just Mike Rome, the only guy there. that was pretty funny, I've got to say. So I'm all for Titus Worldwide. But yeah, it's just, you know, it's one of those things where kind of wish Mickey James was still on SmackDown because she's getting an opportunity. There's nobody, like, you know, I will say, when Charlotte was on Raw, it was all Charlotte, Sasha Banks, and a little Bailey. And now, like, when Charlotte's on SmackDown, it's everybody. I mean, Charlotte mm-hmm. is not, it's not all Charlotte by any means. Like, you have Naomi and Natalya going one-on-one. You have this dynamic with Lana, even though Lana's just jobby nonstop. Like, there's still, like, there's a focus on that. And there's a focus on her character with it. Tamina, you know, the dynamic with her and Lana. You know, Carmella, of course, Miss Money in the Bank, her and James Ellsworth. And Becky Lynch, honestly, if anyone's, Becky Lynch might be the least relevant on SmackDown, but that's still not saying that much either. So, all in all, I mean, everybody's getting a chance on SmackDown, despite I thought Charlotte was honestly the reason why people were kind of, you know, not getting a push on Raw, but it's really just kind of how Raw is. And it's just how the writers focus on Raw versus SmackDown. But yeah, that's just, that's unfortunate, but that's just kind of how it is.
And I think the big thing too is that on SmackDown, the women can all wrestle. Like, I know that people still have their question marks about Carmella, and some even have question marks about Tamina. But overall, I think quality of wrestling that you're seeing on SmackDown, especially in the women's division, is night and day compared to what it is on Raw. And I think the biggest thing is that they've given the women opportunities, and you can talk about the amount of opportunities. You can talk about, you know, what it actually means. But I think the SmackDown women's roster has been given better opportunities with the amount of time that they have to showcase what they're capable of doing. And like you said, when it was Charlotte on Raw, it was the Charlotte show, but she's not the focal point currently on SmackDown Live, but she's still putting in quality matches. She's still doing some incredible things. And I think this just shows that while there are differences in how the shows have been booked lately, and some have questions about what the better show is right now, when it seemed like SmackDown was far and away the better show, when it comes to the women's division, I have to give it to SmackDown in terms of the way that they've booked those women.
Without a doubt. Hey, still to come on the show, we have our conversation with GFW Impact star from the X Division, Andrew Everett. That's coming up in just a bit. And next, we'll hit the dirt sheets a little bit more, and we want to talk a little bit about the WWE Network programming and some of their cancellations. It's All Things Wrestling Radio on today's Talk 1490.
Wrestling superstar Mr. Anderson, and you're listening to All Things Wrestling.
All Things Wrestling Radio returns on Today's Talk 1490 and streaming online at todaystalk1490.com. I'm your host, Isaac Wenzel, Panda Pete, connected with me via Skype as well. And it's one of those days, it's one of those weeks where we're kind of in that in-between phase between the pay-per-views, but there's still a lot going on, especially in the dirt sheets. So let's get after it right with these dirt sheets a little bit more. A lot of, you know, everyone's wondering what the heck is happening with Dolph Ziggler. He hasn't been on TV lately. Speaking of other guys like Eric Rowan, Luke Harper, Ty Dillinger on the Blue Brand. Basically, there's just nothing, you know, for them creatively. That's the rumor. So that's the reason why they're not on TV. None of them are really in the doghouse by any means. But you got to wonder, post-SummerSlam, do you think any of those guys go back down to NXT or maybe move to Raw with a superstar shakeup?
Oh, man. I don't even know. I understand that they're, for the amount of wrestlers they have and for the amount of TV time that they have, that not everybody is going to be on every show. I just feel that they've done such a poor job of managing their rosters where they'll throw somebody on in a program 5 weeks in a row, and then they'll take them out for 1 week, and that's the week that somebody else gets an opportunity. I'm not saying that all wrestlers are created equal. I'm not saying that they all deserve the same amount of time on TV, but there's got to be a better way to manage all these wrestlers and put them into feuds and different things too. I mean, I would understand it if the booking job and writing was kind of done by committee, where they just threw a bunch of random people in every week and said, figure it out. But these people are getting paid to come up with feuds and ideas for shows. And it just seems like they're not really trying as hard as they once did, or they're not as good as they once were, or something. But the fact that you've got somebody like Dolph Ziggler not doing anything on TV right now is kind of astonishing to me.
It is really crazy when you think about Dolph Ziggler and the fact that, yeah, he's not on TV right now with how talented he is in the ring, on the mic. You've got to think something's going to happen with him. His contract does end, so maybe they don't really want to invest too much in him, but maybe just send him down to NXT. Let him put over some guys. Let him just have a good program. I mean, he could instantly be in the NXT title picture and put on some great matches. I mean, there's a lot of talent in NXT. He can help sell some tickets, too, with some of their tours. I know there's not as much star power going into NXT TakeOver Brooklyn, so their ticket sales aren't as hot as they once were. Having a guy like Dolph Ziggler just put on a lights-out match, something that he hasn't been able to do in quite some time. He hasn't really had a great match in a good year with him and The Miz in their feud. It's been a little, it's been kind of dull again with Dolph Ziggler. So it's unfortunate, but that's just kind of what's going on. He turned heel and, you know, it really didn't mean much either. Like, we thought maybe it was going to turn into something, but it didn't. You look at Eric Rowan and Luke Harper, maybe they go back to the Wyatts on Raw. Go back to, you know, with Bray Wyatt on Raw, perhaps. I'm really indifferent on those guys. I like Luke Harper. I do. Eric Rowan, I like too. Just he's, you know, Minnesota guy, but they're kind of booked in a corner too, because I mean, they could push one of them, on SmackDown. Like, Luke Harper could get a push, but there's not much to his character outside of him being a former Wyatt family member, and then you put him on Raw with the Wyatts, then he just becomes the guy that everyone beats leading up to a pay-per-view. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's really tough for a lot of guys to break out of particular characters, especially when they're so known for that specific thing. And I think it also, again, comes back to booking. When you look at the Shield members, they all kind of got their individual personalities, you know, pretty well laid out for them after they broke up from the Shield. It took them a little bit of time, but they worked on it and got them over. Yeah, Dean Ambrose really took that unstable nature of himself and the Shield, became, you know, Dean Ambrose with the Ambrose Asylum. And then you had Roman Reigns, kind of became this Superman type character. And then you had the Architect, Seth Rollins, now the Kingslayer. They invested time into getting those guys their own specific identities. They have not done the same for Eric Rowan and Luke Harper. And you look at a guy like Doc Gallows, or what do they call him? Is he Luke Gallows?
Luke Gallows.
You have Luke Gallows on Raw, who was Fake Kane. He was Festus. Then he was Doc Gallows. Then he was Luke Gallows, I guess, in WWE. They put a lot of time and effort into getting him different characters. They haven't done that for the Wyatt family. They've tried some different things, but they keep trying to do like this mental mind game sort of thing with all the members of the Wyatt family, not named Braun Strowman. And maybe that's not the way you need to go. I'm not saying that you need to completely blow up their characters, send them down to NXT and have them work on stuff again, but they just haven't tried. And I think that's the most disappointing thing. You look at the talent that Eric Rowan and Luke Harper have, is that they just haven't really invested any time into making them work.
Now, you mentioned Braun Strowman. I wanted to talk about this after Monday with that Last Man Standing match between him and Roman Reigns. Those two, say what you want about them, you know, like just kind of being shoved down our throat. That's got to be feud of the year right now, at least as of now. Don't you think? Roman Reigns and Braun Strowman. That's either one, like, it might just be because there's nothing else going on right now, but I've got to think that's feud of the year.
I think they've made it work long term, and that's something that they haven't done for a very long time, is have a long term feud. You saw it with maybe Seth Rollins when he was individually taking on either Dean Ambrose or Roman Reigns while he was part of the Authority, but it just seems like long term feuds are not something that WWE is very good at doing lately. And I don't know if that's because they think that the average fan is maybe only watching for a month or two at a time, or they're only interested in specific feuds for a month or two at a time. But the fact that they're still carrying Roman Reigns and Braun Strowman this far and it doesn't feel like it's old yet shows that when they want to try, again, when they want to try something, they will do it and it will be good. So why try harder? Do more.
Right.
If you don't want the job, Isaac and I will take it. I'll book SmackDown. Isaac can book Raw. He can be a massive mark, and I'll just book a really smart, beautifully crafted show every week. And obviously, SmackDown will be the better show.
I just keep putting over my favorite people. I just, Alexa Bliss becomes longest reigning champion in history and
of any title,
right?
Ever.
And then, you know, and then Cesaro is the Universal Champ, and he just feuds with Seth Rollins, and they just keep trading back and forth.
Yeah. This again is why SmackDown, if I booked SmackDown, it would be this wonderfully crafted show that people would appreciate. And Isaac booking Raw would probably get him fired after, what, 4 weeks, 5 weeks? Do you think you'd make it a month?
You know, I think I could make it. I bet I'd make it 2 months. That's my guess. You know,
I mean, if Vince Russo can work there that long,
right,
you have an opportunity to work there for at least a month.
I think, you know, there'd be a lot of excitement, like a lot of, you know, shock value, especially like if Cesaro won the title, him and Seth Rollins have a good feud, you know, some of the IWC guys get all excited, and then, it, you know, ticket sales will start to drop after, you know, those two keep trading titles, so
after
on and so
four,
forth.
Year five.
Yeah. So
Seth Rollins is already the 27 title reigns, and he's held it for a cumulative 12 months.
Yeah, right. No, I would flip flop titles like literally like every episode of Raw, like somebody's title, just like back, you know, it just be almost annoying in a way.
So you're really going for that TNA Impact feel right now,
right? Like when they had that WCW invasion angle. When they had like 18 titles, like between the WCW and the WWE one. So they just literally like, there was like probably 13 European champions in like 2 months. And like, you know, then like, I remember like Kurt Angle would go from being WWF champion to WCW champion to WCW United States champion. Like you honestly couldn't even remember like who was held what. That would probably be me.
God bless unification matches.
Right. But but yeah, that's just it's funny like how I originally like Braun Strowman and Roman Reigns like at Fastlane, I wasn't super excited about it, but it picked up some steam and it's built some momentum. And it's held its own. I mean, they found unique ways to make it interesting. The ambulance match was fun. The backstage segments that these guys have are, you know, entertaining. I've got a feeling we're going to look back, like, when they do some of those, like, you know, best of Raw episode segments, whatever. Like, some of the stuff will be featured. Maybe one thing. But something from this feud will be featured when it's, like, you know, like, I remember that Raw 100 DVD that they came out, the top 100 moments from Raw, like right as Raw 1000 happened. They like most of the stuff's from Attitude Era, you know, like probably 70% of the stuff. Then you had like a good, you know, then the rest was pre-Attitude Era and then slightly post-Attitude Era and then current stuff. So like you don't have too much. I've got to think that will be featured like at in some point in the future, and like we're starting to get to that point where Raw and SmackDown are going to start having more noteworthy moments, things you'll look back on and appreciate, especially SmackDown, like as of like especially last year, like post brand separation, you had a lot of good stuff. You had first ever women's cage match, you had a great feud between The Miz and Dolph Ziggler, you had the reemergence of The Miz as an awesome character and superstar that, you know, people like didn't like again. You had great title matches. You had, you know, John Cena and Shinsuke Nakamura. Like, what? Never thought we'd see that in a million years. So there's a lot going on. And I gotta appreciate that. But hey, before we go, let's just touch on the WWE Network programming. They canceled another show, NXT Insider. It was a pretty low budget show that they did with Kathy Kelly and a few other people involved with the company. I want to talk about a lot of shows are getting canceled. If If you were to put together a show on the WWE Network, what would you want?
I guess instead of doing Legends with JBL that's an hour, I would do more like kind of combined Unfiltered and Legends with JBL into like a half-hour interview program. And I do it once a week, and it could be any number of different personalities. You could have Renee Young, JBL, Corey Graves, Michael Cole, any of them. But interview current superstars, interview former superstars, and just talk to them about either what they're doing now or, you know, what their hopes and dreams are in the company. Kind of like, I guess, mini WWE 24s. But sure. More like interview style shows, I think, would be good. And I guess the biggest thing for me, too, is that it feels like they just throw stuff on there for a season, maybe two, and then they cancel it and go for something completely different. They don't really replace that. And I'm not saying that you need to dedicate like a whole channel on there to just being original non-wrestling type programming with, you know, either Camp WWE or Unfiltered or Culture Shock with Corey Graves, any of that kind of stuff. But I feel like the lack of creative new shows outside of Table for Three and Ride Along, there really aren't like a lot of shows that you can watch that aren't just old episodes of Raw or Nitro, old pay-per-views, that sort of stuff right now.
You know, I get it takes a lot of time and money and effort to put together some of the shows that they used to do, like Legends House, maybe like a WWE Countdown or any of those shows even, but especially like Legends House, like reality style programming. I'm sure like they you know, Tough Enough probably isn't the best. So I get why they do these shows, especially like, you know, they just throw together like an NXT Insider, a Legends with JBL, a lot of these sit down interview shows just because they're easy to make. Doesn't take too much time, much manpower. It's cheap too. Like if you did like say Legends House, you brought that back, I'm sure you'd have to pay all those guys. So like I get why they do some of the shows that they do. It's just I feel like they got to be a little more creative. Swerved was fun.
Turn Southpaw Regional Wrestling into a full-blown network show.
Right? That'd be a lot of fun.
If they did 6-episode seasons and just taped them all within like a 2-week span, just pulling in whoever they needed to that was available at the time to do that, and you could do it 2-3 times a year, whatever your schedule allowed you to. But even comedy shows like that featuring the superstars, you know, it's not Swerved, I think would be, you know, a great asset to the network.
See, I don't know if they even need to necessarily do like consistent like season shows right now, besides, you know, the ones that they currently have running. I think they just need to do more specials. You know what I mean? Like how they did that Mick Foley special, that stand-up special. You know, when Austin isn't under contract and can't do his podcast, yeah, have someone like Jericho do it. Like so many of these guys have shows. I loved Edge and Christian show. I mean, it was kind of dumb, but you know, it was fun. You know, as an Edge and Christian fan, I enjoyed that. It was I liked the shows where they, you know, they aren't afraid to, you know, kayfabe or like to go past kayfabe. You know, like they'll talk about TNA on that Edge and Christian show. So like that's always cool. But yeah, just have more like one-time specials, whether it's, you know, follow a guy, like, so like if a WWE guy makes an indie appearance at an indie show, do that. If Dolph Ziggler has a stand-up show, do that. Like just more, you know, like kind of like real authentic, not overly produced, but you know, specials.
You can do Total Bellas and Total Divas, why can't you do more of those specials of that nature? You know, like the Seth Rollins Road Recovery, why don't you show a day in the life of Seth Rollins, you know, when he's not wrestling? You know, what does his day look like when he goes back and does, you know, runs his CrossFit gym for the day or his wrestling school for the day?
Just,
you know,
one
show what
too.
It's like for John Cena to travel,
right,
and do all of his appearances. Like, what goes into that? We know that it's a lot of work, but, you know, show him when he leaves the SmackDown taping, when he hops on the plane, what is he doing for the next 24 hours to get to that appearance at the, you know, in China or wherever he might be.
Also, you know what I think they should do? I think they should consider putting like, say, Sam Roberts Wrestling Podcast on there and just putting like podcasts on there that like aren't the ones that they produce. And I get that, you know, like we're not quite there yet to being just full on like Supermark Network, but you know, we're close. I'm not as crazy, like, but I know they want to produce them themselves though. You know what I mean? Like with Bring It to the Table and their own podcast, but do something like that with like Sam Roberts' show, you know, and like just have those like real interviews with talents that might not get a chance to do these things anywhere else. Like Sam Roberts did an interview with Curt Hawkins recently, and that was great. You know, instead of just doing like, you know, oh, let's do, you know, John Cena this episode, and then they start to kind of lose momentum on guys to have on, and it's just kind of big names, you know, like just throw everybody on. But we're going on a tangent and we got to wrap this up because still to come, we've got an interview with Andrew Everett, GFW Impact Wrestling X Division star Andrew Everett. That's coming up next. It's All Things Wrestling Radio on today's Talk 1490.
We the people, what's up? This is the real American Jack Swagger, and you're listening to All Things Wrestling Radio.
It's another edition of All Things Wrestling Radio on today's Talk 1490, streaming online at todaystalk1490.com. We've got another wonderful show for you today. In fact, right now we are on the phone with GFW Impact X Division star Andrew Everett. Andrew, what's going on, man?
Nothing much, man. It's a hot one down in Orlando right now. I just got done at the gym, and I'm taking care of a kitten.
Are you? There you go.
International Kitten Day, eh?
Oh, that's right. It is.
It is today, apparently. Yeah.
That is. So do you just have the one cat then?
No, I got two more.
Two more? Wow, that's a full house.
Yeah, they're out messing somewhere else.
Very nice. Is that your home then, Orlando?
Yes, I just moved to Orlando recently, and I'm enjoying it, man. Enjoying it a lot.
Are you guys, for the most part, all down there as far as Impact stars? I know Moose, we had him on the show a couple weeks ago, and he was.
No, man. We're from all over, but I just figured it would be nice to move down here to be close to work, and I got a lot of good people around me down here, so I'm enjoying it.
Well,
taking
yeah.
In the sun, close to all the beaches, about an hour and 20 away from Clearwater. Come on.
That's not too bad. Where are you originally from?
I am from Burlington, North Carolina.
Burlington, North Carolina. Very cool. What was it like? Is that where you grew up too?
Yes. Yeah. Born and raised.
What was it like growing up there?
Well, my entire life was situated around wrestling, but North Carolina is a good state, man. Especially for wrestling. A lot of history has come through North Carolina, and I'm glad to be a part of it in some shape or fashion.
Definitely. Did were you a fan growing up then as a kid?
Oh yes. Yes. Big fan growing up. And then, eventually my dad got into a company, became a partner in a company called CWF Mid-Atlantic when I was around 9 years old. So I grew up in a locker room.
Oh, very cool. So were you able to do stuff backstage or anything like that, or, you know, set up the ring?
Oh, yeah. Yes, yes. Setting up the rings, I was the bump dummy for a long time. You know, if you needed a move to be practiced on, I was the guy to be taking it. But I've been doing this for quite a long time now.
So how old were you when you took your first ever bump in the ring?
9 years old.
9 years old. That is, that's pretty cool. You started off quite young then. Wow.
Yeah, yeah. My first match in front of a live audience was 12, and then from 14 on, I've been consistently wrestling.
That's fantastic. So you have quite the experience then. You've got quite the resume.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
What do you like? Do you like? I mean, you're still a younger guy, aren't you, Andrew?
Yeah, I'm 20. I just turned 25 July 9th.
So I'm sure you kind of still feel like a veteran in the locker room despite being just 25. What's that like?
In a way, man. Sometimes you don't you don't give it any thought. More anything than ever, I just think about how I'm not the youngest guy in the locker room anymore. I grew up, for the most part of my life, I was always the youngest guy in the locker room, and that's not the case now. And it kind of blows my mind a little bit, man.
Do you find yourself mentoring other people a little bit that you get to meet?
Mentoring, pointing some stuff out. Not really mentoring. I haven't really found someone that I've taken under my wing per se, but yeah, telling somebody maybe here or there what to do instead or what to do a little bit differently. But no, not really anybody I would have said I have mentored yet. But it's something that will eventually come, though. I've grown to accept that.
Without question. I'm sure you want to still, you know, be considered that up-and-coming talent since you are just 25 still.
Yeah, of course. I'm 25 myself, so still got a little bit to go.
Definitely. Let's go back a little bit to when you were 12 and you had your first match. Tell us a little bit about that. What was it like? How did it go? Like, how old were some of the other guys you were facing off against?
I mean, they kept my in-ring stuff pretty limited. I was always a flippy kid, so all my stuff was either dives or something off the top rope. But they took good care of me, and they led me through pretty well. And I think, let's see, some of the guys, yeah, there might have been one or two that were old enough to like be my father by all intents and purposes, old enough to have me as a child. But yeah, man, it's something that I rarely look back on. But then when, you know, I take time to think about it, it's different. A lot of people didn't start as early as I did. I would say 99% of everyone in professional wrestling didn't start as early as I did.
No, that's fantastic. I didn't realize I was giving you such a blast from the past here.
Yeah.
That's awesome, though. So, so you're 12 years old, you have your first match, and you start working consistently when you're 14. At one point, did you find yourself starting to really get into a rhythm of things and start really feeling comfortable in the ring?
The growing pains, man. It took a while. 18, I'd say, is when I was really starting to, when I got out of high school, I started to be able to focus a little bit more and travel. Traveling's always big because, for the longest time there, I was in one location. I wouldn't say one location, but North Carolina, South Carolina, and Virginia. That's where I was for those first 4 years. Once I turned 18, I started venturing out other places, and by the time I was 20, I was pretty much finding my way everywhere in the country.
Yes. So do you start to find yourself seeing the world a little bit more, especially after, you know, getting outside of that, you know, small radius?
That bubble. Yeah. Yeah, and that's where you really learn stuff. That's where I learn stuff. You pick things up from every, I don't like to use the word territory, but every territory you stop by. And yeah, it's a real eye-opener. Later, I got to go over to England, learn stuff there, and that's somewhere where I always enjoy going, always end up learning some stuff over there. But it's funny to look back on thinking how long I've been doing this already.
Well, I'm sure going to England's got to be fun too, just because of how passionate the fans are there.
Yeah, it's a hotbed right now.
Where, in terms of places you've been, what is there one area that you enjoyed working at most? Would you say England, or is it anywhere else in particular?
England in particular. I enjoyed my time over in Germany as well. It's quite a culture shock, but out west was fun. I just got done in Texas for the second time in my career, and that was pretty damn fun. But man, it's every different place that you go to, there's something that people do a little bit different here and there, and it's fun to experience all those different things.
Have you spent much time in the Midwest at all?
Midwest, a little bit. I enjoy my time in Chicago, if people like to consider that Midwest.
But, oh yeah.
I enjoy wrestling for AAW in Chicago. Out west, I did the PWG thing for a while. Now I'm working in Texas. Man, there's something about just being in Orlando in the Impact Zone and getting to wrestle a couple minutes down the road from home. I enjoy that.
I'm sure it's hard to complain with that, especially having a quick drive to work.
No,
but
no, no.
let's talk about a little bit of your time in Impact Wrestling. When did you start in Impact?
I was on the last round of house shows right before Bound for Glory. I want to say 2015.
Okay.
That was the one in Charlotte, if I'm not mistaken.
How did that process go? Was it like a tryout? This was, you know, like your first go round, or
it was just. I had a lot of attention at the time, and I had some help from people that said, look, you got to take a look at this kid. I got on those house shows and got on Bound for Glory and Ultimate X match, I should say, and tore the house down. They signed me. So that was really rewarding to be on that loop and then right in maybe an hour and a half radius of where you live for Bound for Glory. And that was really, really special to me.
Oh, yeah, I could only imagine. Yeah, what was it like getting asked that question? And, like, I'm sure you were just thrilled, huh?
Oh, yeah, I mean, it's got a... my style has deep roots in, you know, Impact. Guys like AJ and guys like Key and guys like Sanjay, I mean, two of those guys that I just listed are on the roster right now for Impact Wrestling. But, I mean, Amazing Red, just so much talent. Chris Sabin, Alex Shelley, all those guys. Really inspiring, and you remember watching them as a young kid and thinking, man, there's something special here, and getting to work for the company that employed these guys and gave these guys a shot on the main stage is really, really humbling, and it's just an incredible experience.
Out of those guys that you mentioned, did any of those guys, you know, take you under their wing at all, or anyone that really mentored you early on at Impact?
Mentors, I wouldn't say mentoring, but definitely have had run-ins with guys like Saban. Funny enough, Saban was with me, I think, my first time over in England, and he was a very, 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 very intelligent person to pick their brain. You know, to he's got a great mind for it, and I picked his brain any chance I got. And he's a really, really good guy. And he kind of for that week there, kind of took me under his wing. He's a good guy.
I took to Twitter to ask some of our listeners for some questions to ask you.
Yeah.
And we've got a guy who asked that you've had a bad luck with injuries in recent times. How hard is it psychologically to deal with injuries as a wrestler? And have you had to, have you had to adjust at all to that because in your train because of your injuries?
Yeah, well, I think it all goes back to starting so young. I was taking risks as a kid, and I mean, you're indestructible at that age. You don't feel pain, and it is more psychological, it's more mental than it is physical. For instance, the knee that's had two surgeries feels amazing. I mean, it feels absolutely incredible. The right one is the more recent knee that I've had surgery on, and it's slowly but surely working its way back to 100%. And of course, my style is detrimental to to my knees in general. Many high flyers have had knee injuries. I mean, look at Rey Mysterio.
Mm-hmm.
He seems to bounce back. Saban, who I just mentioned, had some of the worst luck with knees, just back to back. But slow down, change my style, maybe a hair. But I still feel like I'm one of the most flashy guys going right now in the air. I can still do things that no one else can do, and I'm pretty proud of that. And I don't plan on stopping to do that stuff at all. No. Maybe just the tempo a little bit.
Just the tempo. Okay, fair enough. Yeah, I was just about to ask about that. But, it's cool to see that you're, you know, almost at 100%. You're getting a little bit better, getting a little bit more comfortable with your body again. Tell us a little bit about some of your aspirations right now in Impact Wrestling. What would you like to achieve?
I just want to go out there right now. I want to go out there and give the people a hell of a show. That's what I've always enjoyed doing. I'm a showman. I enjoy taking the risk and hearing the crowd, you know, vibing off the crowd. It's always a really, really, really good experience to have. And it's a humbling experience to hear how much excitement you're producing out of a fan base. A little bit longer down the line, I got to get back to that X Division title. It's something that I do want, something that's dear to my heart after seeing so many people go on to so much in professional wrestling just because of that X Division title. I mean, it's a dream.
Do you have any goals outside of Impact Wrestling?
I just have fun wrestling. That's always something that I've been big on. Enjoying getting to travel, enjoy getting to see so much of the world because of what professional wrestling has given you, and that's something that that I really, 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 really take into consideration.
Now, this is kind of looking long-term a little bit, so I don't want to jump the gun too much, but considering you've been pretty much wrestling consistently for over 10 years, do you see yourself retiring early by chance, or do you think you'll be in this for the long haul?
Nah, I'm in it for the long haul, man. this is what I've always done. This is what I'll always do, so it's not going to stop.
Very cool. It's Andrew Everett of Impact Wrestling, X Division Star. Andrew, I know you guys have got a lot going on in Impact Wrestling. You've got the new name change, Global Force. Just tell us a little bit about what's going down in Impact Wrestling. I know you guys got some live events coming up and a whole bunch of stuff.
Destination X is going to be a hell of a show. You got one of my old comrades, Nemesis, Trevor Lee, who has stolen a belt. that is on the record books. That is not his title, but I mean, I guess possession is 9/10 of the law. That's what they say. Trevor taking on Sanjay Dutt. And, if there's someone that can knock Sanjay off right now, it's Trevor. That guy is a hell of an athlete. He's vicious. He's faster than you. He's quicker than you. He's the complete package as a professional wrestler. So Sanjay's got to be careful, and he's got to use his experience against him.
Yeah,
keep that title that has been stolen from him. What else you got? You got Bobby Lashley and Matt Sydal, and I mean that's going to be a style battle in the greatest, in the, you know, purest form of it. How much weight does Lashley have on? Oh man.
It's a pretty good number.
Got to weigh close to 100 pounds more than him, right?
Oh, you've got to think so.
Yeah, I mean, Lashley is just another level of athlete. I like to call him the Terminator. He seems indestructible, and that is an uphill battle for Matt, 100%. But, I mean, he's got so much damn heart. It's fighting... literally fighting a fighting machine Lashley's a Terminator, man.
You know, you mentioned Trevor Lee, the same guy who asked another question on Twitter earlier. Pellegro, want to give him some a credit there. But can you see yourself and Trevor Lee reforming anytime in the future?
I don't know about reforming, but I'd definitely like to face off against him. But there's some things we need to get cleared up. But he's a hell of a talent, and no one can take that away from him. No one. So we got some stuff to get through, but I mean, it's not something that I would completely write off.
It's Andrew Everett of Impact Wrestling. Andrew, anything else before we go, man?
I mean, I guess we're gonna do this hokey dokey plug, right?
you gotta do it.
_AndrewEverett on Twitter. I do Instagram. I'm not on there a lot, but Andrew Everett Pro is the Instagram handle, and I'd just like to thank you guys for having me on. And guys, pay attention to Global Force Impact. We're coming up. We're changing the game. There's a lot going on right now in Global Force Wrestling.
Yeah, it's an exciting time, and I'm glad to see that you're part of it. I'm glad that we had the chance to talk with you and some of the other stars as of late. And best of luck to you in the future, man.
Hey, thank you very much, man.
Thanks for listening to All Things Wrestling Radio. Be sure to follow the show on Facebook.com/ All Things Wrestling Radio and on Twitter @ATW Radio Tweets.